Maybe becoming a parent is your answer to this question, but have you ever received an unexpected blessing because you were willing to go outside of your comfort zone? And as the Eagles prepare to play their playoff game today, I'm reminded of 2018. Sherry and I actually watched that Super Bowl from the Magic Kingdom. We were in Disney World at the time. It was raining, and it was Super Bowl Sunday. It was empty. It was great. We walked right on any ride we wanted to, no problem. And while we walked through the lines and down the streets, I was, you know, pretty much like this the whole way, watching the game on my phone, and the Disney cast members would be like, "Hey, how's it going?" And it was really, really an interesting opportunity to be there in that moment. And we got back to the hotel room just a few minutes before the game was over, so we got to watch the last few minutes. And then we found out something very important. When you're watching afterwards, and they have all these commercials with the MVP saying, "I'm going to Disney World," they mean it. They get on a plane that night and go to Disney World for the parade the next day. So we saw Nick Foles in the parade the next day on Monday. Well, Sherry and I made sure that we got to the park extra early because we wanted to see this. And we found a nice, shady spot where there was places to sit. It was great. We were all set up. We were there like a couple hours early. They even let us meet Mickey Mouse early so that we could go and line up for the parade. So we got there, and as people start gathering, I start to realize that as more people come, we're not going to have a very good view of what's going on. Now, yes, this was a very comfortable place. The shade, it was Florida. We were shady, we were sitting, and we were good to go. However, if we wanted to get a better view, we would have to leave that comfy, shady spot with a seat and go stand out where there's not a tree in sight, not a chair in sight, and probably, you know, 50 other people in that square foot around to see this event. So that was our dilemma. Do we stay where we are nice and comfortable and cozy and possibly miss out on something great? Or do we leave that comfort zone and go where it's less comfortable, but the rewards are surely higher? Well, we decided, partly because we did not think it'd be as long as it ended up being, that we would leave our comfortable place and go. We got a spot right in front. And it was supposed to be 3 o'clock, the parade. So about 2:45, that magical voice came over the speakers that said, "In just 15 minutes, Walt Disney World will be proud to present the Super Bowl MVP. He said, "Great, all right, settling in, 15 minutes, no problem. You wait longer than that for Splash Mountain, right? So no problem." Well, about 10 minutes went by. It was about 2:55. And that magical voice came back and said, "In just 10 minutes, Walt Disney World will be proud to welcome the Super Bowl MVP. And I said, "Well, we lost 5 minutes, but that's not bad. No problem. We can do 10 minutes. 10 minutes went by, and the magical voice came back and said, "In just 5 minutes, Walt Disney World will be proud to present the World Series the Super Bowl MVP. Okay. About 10 minutes went by, magical voice, "In just moments, Walt Disney World will be proud to present the Super Bowl MVP. And it ended up being about 15 minutes, and I've never seen a Walt Disney World parade float go so fast. He zoomed by us. I've got the video if you want to see it after the service. But, you know, usually like Mickey's on a float in front of you and dancing and waving. There was none of that. It was just gone. And the good thing, though, is that we have that video because we were right in front, because we left our comfortable place, and we got a great view. Later on, we heard the people that we were sitting with in the shade on the seats, and we heard them saying that they didn't see a thing because of where they were. So the theological question for us this morning is, are we willing to leave our comfort zones, to seek God's greater blessings somewhere else. And sometimes that somewhere else is not as comfortable as where you were. 2,000 years ago, wise men from the East taught the whole world and all generations after that a very valuable lesson. Following God's glory, following Jesus Christ, may require you to leave your comfortable place. We don't know exactly who those men were that Matthew described as wise men in the scripture. Church tradition says that they are kings, perhaps because the prophecy said that kings would come. But the Bible doesn't say they were kings. Other traditions say that they are actually men with names. Melchior from Persia, which is modern-day Iran, believe it or not. Caspar from India, and Balthazar from Arabia. But biblically, we don't know who they were, where they came from, or even how many of them that there were. But we don't need to know those things to know what the real message of the scripture is. Because it's not about who they were or where they came from, what their names were, or how many of them there were. That's not what the message is about. The message is far deeper than numbers and geographic locations. These wise men, we can assume, were well-educated. They'd have to be, right? And if they were well-educated, they were likely pretty well off financially. Like today, in those days, the more knowledge you had, the more money you made. Knowledge has always been power. And they must have been pretty rich if they could just pick up and follow a star. And if they come from where the tradition says they came from, it would have taken months to get there. So how many of us could have the financial resources to just pick up and follow a star for months at a time and leave our work and leave our family behind? The key here is that we can imagine they were pretty comfortable at home. If they were kings, even if they were just well-educated, knowledgeable, wise men, we can assume they likely would have had good and perhaps even very powerful jobs. Maybe even kings, as the church tradition says, and as the prophecy proclaimed. They likely would have been living in very nice houses, yet they were willing to leave all of that comfort behind to go and follow this star, this light guiding them towards something. Now, the Magi were only the first to drop everything that they had to follow Jesus. People of all kinds, from all places, would do that throughout Jesus' life. The 12 disciples also left everything behind to go and follow Jesus. Most of them didn't have anywhere near as much as the wise men may have had if they were kings. So today, 2 weeks, 2 Sundays after Christmas, this day is called Epiphany, the day when the church celebrates the Magi arriving where Jesus was. Epiphany in today's society gets very overshadowed by the monster that Christmas has become. But in the early church, Epiphany was the big day. Christmas was a minor celebration, the actual birth. But to the early church, the more important day was Epiphany, the day that the world started finding out what all this meant. I guess, to make a link to last week's message, the early church had a bigger celebration for the day that the small scale became big scale, when that little small family of three started getting visited by the world, and the world started finding out what God was doing among them. Epiphany means the light shines forth. It was such a big deal in the early church that it was one of only 3 major festival days: Easter, Pentecost, and Epiphany. So that's the bar that they had put Epiphany on, as the same as Easter and Pentecost. Still today, even though it may have lost a little bit of its weight in terms of how much we celebrate it in society, Epiphany still does have a lot to teach us. Reverend Derek Weber, the director of Discipleship Ministries for the United Methodist Church, says that the story of Epiphany to him is the tale of two different groups of wise men. The Magi, who followed the light of Christ and actively sought out God's glory, is the obvious one. But if we reread the scripture again, we see that there are hints of another group of wise men in this scripture. Now, they don't necessarily call them wise men, but they were men that had knowledge that Herod leaned on. There is that other group, and they are the priests and the scribes. In the scripture that Kathy read for you, when Herod found out about Jesus' birth, what did he do? He went to the knowledgeable people who knew the scriptures to find out where the scriptures said this thing would happen. So they were wise men. They were men who had wisdom and knowledge of what the scriptures said. The difference is that that group of wise men did not actively seek out Jesus and his light. They were the ones who knew what the prophecy said. But the ones who knew what the prophecy said were not the ones that followed the star. The ones who were part of the faith were not the ones who actively wanted to do something about God's glory being revealed right in front of them. It was people from other nations that actively sought out God's glory. So we've got a group of wise men who aren't even Jewish, leaving their comfortable places to follow the light of Christ. And we've got other wise men who have that knowledge, who are Jewish, who are the leaders and holders of the faith, but they didn't have the action required to follow Jesus. It didn't matter how much the Magi knew or how much of the scriptures that they had read. When God's glory happened right in front of them, they acted. They followed it. Those who did have knowledge and understanding did nothing. They stayed in their comfortable places. No matter where you are in your faith journey, you are never too inexperienced or too uneducated to follow the light of Christ. My prayer is that we will all be more like the Magi than the priests that day. My prayer is that we will all open our eyes to God's glory happening right in front of us, and when we see it, we will actively run towards it, even if that means leaving our comfortable places behind. Amen.